And the Eagles going to beat the Packers 22-10. They're on to the divisional.
Every time we played a really good football team, we weren't up to par to pass the test.
Everybody has got to play their best.
We need to continue to ramp up our sense of urgency.
The 13-time world champion, Green Bay Packers. For the first time since 2002, draft a wide receiver.
This is an enormous season for many people, and it's not just for Jordan Love.
I love the guys that we have in the receiving room, but we need a guy that's proven to be one.
Touchdown, Wicks, wide open. It's Reed, first down. Dobbs, touchdown Green Bay.
Jordan Love needs to figure out how to be the steady hand for this team.
If they're not better this year, there's going to be a lot of seats warming up.
Is the pass rush in the secondary going to hold up? Maybe you add one to it.
This is a huge, mammoth-sized blockbuster trade. The Dallas Cowboys are trading Micah Parsons to the Green Bay Packers.
It's once again Parsons.
This is the place where I feel like I can take my next step.
Micah Parsons brings him down.
You add Micah Parsons to this defense, you take a step forward.
Oh, man, winning is everything to me.
Yeah, we're capable of doing some really good things.
This is going to be about how we play.
We've got to find ways to win those big-time games.
We're ready to retake what's ours.
Yeah, I think it's time that we start competing for championships.
Hey, let me get a Green Bay 3. 1, 2, 3.
He has his faults. We all do. But there's nobody better than Jesse Nelson when it comes to a montage edition. We're back to it. You know what Fridays are, although next week I guess it'll be Thursday because it'll be a game day. But all the preview stuff that you always look forward to each and every week during the NFL season edition. And I made this reference with Jen, Gabe, and Chewy minus Jen this morning. Micah Parsons is a great pass rusher. Not a very convincing actor. I'll explain as the show rolls on edition of Wilde and Tausch. A 94.5 ESPN Milwaukee, 100.5 ESPN Madison, 1430 ESPN Beaver Dam, ESPNWisconsin.com, the ESPN app. Your Alexa smart speaker, streaming live video, Twitter, Facebook, YouTube, and of course everything you need on the all-new, all-redesigned, all-free, all-customizable ESPN Wisconsin app, which allows you to get this program on your phone and do all the adjustments that you want, both in the Apple and Android app stores. I'm Jason Wilde in Green Bay. Jesse Nelson, Johnny Montage is in the Everlight Solar ESPN Madison studios and from his undisclosed location, preparing for whatever Middle Tennessee State is and preparing for the Detroit Lions. He is the Packers Hall of Famer. He is Mark Tausch. Tausch, good morning. How are you?
What a week. What a week from Jesse.
Gel.
I think he pulled off a bold-a-thon. He montaged. He's doing the Semper East, whoever they're playing tonight game, or he's got some part of it. I'm not. He's got his Prep Mania shirt on. I don't know what else he could have possibly done.
College game day.
Went to a Brewer game. Created digital content. What a week culminating now, and we're playing a bunch of Honolulu Blue. Let's go get it done. That's kind of what I'm thinking.
And let's not spit on anybody. Are you as fired up about Jesse's montage? Or are you as fired up about this weekend of football as you are about Johnny's montage?
Am I?
Yeah, you.
Sure. Yeah, I'm not more fired up about football. But I thought the montage added. It was a little adder, a little sweetener, if you will.
Did you watch last night's Cowboys-Eagles game, or were you busy feeling your feelings with Eleanor or doing other things?
So I was got home probably by the second quarter, I want to say. We had a tilt out in Oregon last night. Didn't go well for the Sun Prairie East squad. And I got home and I watched. So I saw the clips of the spitting and all of the other stuff. And it was just good. I mean, obviously, I love ball. I'm a football guy, as says on my
football guy
little moniker here. You're you're a toe guy. I'm a football guy. So it was great to see real live NFL football back at it. And I'll be honest, I came away last night thinking I like where Green Bay's at a lot. And I haven't even seen Green Bay play a game yet. Just wanted to preface that. Philly's defense and their offensive lines got some work to do. Not going to say that their offensive line isn't going to be really good, but their defensive line, that ain't your mama's D-line from last year. And obviously when you get the big spitter out of the game, that makes things that even that much worse. So it's just great that football is back, full flow, college, pro, high school, the whole bit. Let's go! Football Friday, baby.
Jesse, did you watch last night's game?
I did, yes. I was actually watching it with Hunter Vaughn, our producer, who is a diehard Cowboys fan here at the ESPN Madison.
You come over to the house?
No, we were here for the volleyball broadcast last night. He produces, he's the executive producer of the Wisconsin Badgers Volleyball Radio
Network. Kind of a snug volleyball game last night, which shouldn't have been snug.
Little tighter against UC Davis than we may have hoped, but Badgers swept him in three in the end, and so another one tonight against Chicago State. But we did have the game on here in the studio while we were doing the volleyball broadcast, and first drive, Hunter was all back in on his Cowboys, and then he forgot they also had to play defense, and then after they played defense, he was kind of back down to earth. But competitive, fun weather.
You know,
delay.
They could have used the pass rusher last night.
They sure could have.
Dallas,
yeah, a couple of runs on the edge by the quarterback. That you thought, oh, I wonder if someone else would have been there to stop him.
These guys are hard to find. When you have them, you don't usually want to get rid of them.
Yeah, you want to make sure you pay the guys to keep them if you have them.
So we did decide last night the opener should always be played in a dome. Because a couple of years ago, Kansas City was hosting, and they had a big weather delay to start the season, and the game started like an hour and a half late.
Are domes lightning-proof? Because I think even with lightning in a dome, you have to
evacuate. Yeah, if they're playing at SoFi, they don't have to evacuate. If they're playing at the Vikings stadium, they don't have to evacuate the stadium because there might be a severe thunderstorm warning in the area.
If there's lightning, they do.
No, they don't.
No?
I don't know, Jim.
So
this is
domes,
a really good question.
So domes are lightning. If you ever want to survive, are you telling me if there's a big lightning storm, jump in a dome? That's what you're telling me?
Yeah. Unofficially.
I want to make sure you fact-check.
I don't want to be.
I'm working on it. You guys keep
talking.
I don't
want to be on the record of public safety, but assuming
well,
that.
Well, you just did.
Assuming that you are safe in a dome and they wouldn't have to stop the game because of a weather delay. This is the second time in a couple of years that the opener has been delayed and derailed by a weather delay. And we shouldn't be having that when it's the standalone game to kick off the season. So I know they want to do it at the stadium to raise the banners and all that stuff, but move it to a dome. That should be a new policy that we enact starting next year.
The rule is within 8 miles of the stadium, still working. I know you're a big AI guy, Tausch. I don't really
no,
like.
I'm not. I don't.
I know. I'm being facetious. I don't. Can I turn this off on Google? They give you the AI overview first, and I feel like I can't trust it. So I'm now trying to find it in other places, and it's really slowing down my fact-checking.
Ron Reagan told you, just verify it. I don't know who you even verify it with, but I don't know why we're talking about that at this point. The weather thing, that's a dumb idea by Jesse because I think it's dumb. I don't think these domes are – it's not like a missile-proof – like you have those big missile-proof things where people are firing missiles in and it blocks them. I don't think domes do that with lightning.
Have you never been to a Brewers game where there's a severe thunderstorm warning going on outside the stadium? You can see the lightning, but you're in the stadium. You're good. That's the point of the roof. They don't delay a Brewers game because there's a thunderstorm going on. And it's the same for all football stadiums. They don't delay a game at the Fiserv Forum for the Bucks because there's a thunderstorm.
So you're telling me that the top of a dome will stop all lightning? That's what you're telling me.
I'm not here to tell you. I'm not a lightning expert, but I have found now from the NFL, if it is a retractable roof stadium, if the roof is open and there's lightning in the area, they pause it.
Well, no boy.
I'm helping you, if you could stop.
Had a good week.
If the roof is closed, play continues. So apparently,
okay,
they feel like the lightning is not going to come through the roof and zap you in your seat, which is what their concern is. So evidently, Jesse's idea is not wrong, which is in some
That's
ways disappointing.
I am fascinated that is accurate.
It's still a dumb idea. Because the defending champs get to host the first game, except for in the 100th anniversary season when it was Packers-Bears. But otherwise, the whole idea is you get to celebrate the reigning champs by playing at home in the kickoff game.
Yeah, give them Monday Night Football. Opener should be in a dome. Monday Night Football for the defending champs on ESPN. That's how we should do it starting next year.
You're watching on the new ESPN app.
Build up to the biggest moment of the weekend, which is the team raising the banner, celebrating that on Monday night. Start with a marquee game in a dome on Thursday night. Big ones all weekend. Brazil Friday. Defending champs Monday night. Yep.
It's interesting.
All right, Tausch, you've heard enough from him. What would you rather be?
No, I mean it's interesting. I don't know why I didn't realize that. Where they put Josh, you just said they put lightning rods on the dome to stop the lightning. I don't want to break down science today. I never do, and I don't want to today, so I'm not going to.
Whoa,
what I
Nelly!
Will say off of last night.
Big Tausch, the science guy. Tausch,
Dallas
Tausch,
Cowboys.
Tausch. Don't be a knob. Keep talking.
No, I'm not. I wanted to make sure you were done. I didn't want to speak over you. The Dallas Cowboys, I think, should feel good about where they were last night. I think Philly, anytime you win, you don't apologize. But I just want to – I'm never going to – for the listening audience, I have Nuthoack up on the screen. I never want to underestimate
except for
the
when you did.
I'm not. But I do think Philadelphia, how they were built and how they won last year is not how they're going to do it this year. Doesn't mean that they can't or they won't. But their formula is not going to be the same as what it was last year. I don't think that will be the case. So it's a new year. It's a dawn of a new era. And there's 15 to 20 teams that think they can win a championship. And I think the Green Bay Packers are right up at the top of that list. And that's what last night kind of showed me and reiterated, even before Green Bay's played a game.
We will see where those two teams are when they meet each other in November, right? On Monday Night Football, Jesse, hopefully there's no weather delays because it'll be at an outdoor stadium known as Lambeau Field. But I agree with Tausch. Put the sign up. Put the shirt on. I was not impressed with the reigning champs. But again, it's one game. And it's been a long time since we had games that count since the Super Bowl. So we make more judgments than we need to. We're going to do it on Sunday, right? I mean, we're going to, whatever happens with Packers-Lions, we're going to make more judgments than we should because there's 16 more of them to go. And frankly, the second one, 4 days later on Thursday. But yeah, I watched that game and I got some work done during the weather delay. And then I continued watching and being distracted as I was writing my Micah Parsons story, because it was an entertaining game. I don't know how bad or good Dallas is going to be this year, but if CeeDee Lamb catches the football, they probably win the game, and the defending champs lose on opening night and are 0-1 out of the chute. So it was, I thought it was an entertaining game, but again, I would caution whether it's us looking at the Eagles, us looking at the Cowboys, or us looking at the Packers and Lions after Sunday's game. We have to be a little bit careful about making too many lasting judgments off of the opener. They will be all be different teams in 6 weeks, in 12 weeks, and in 18 weeks when the regular season
ends. I'll tell you this, too. I understand the spitting, and I think he was rightly thrown out of the game.
Okay.
I don't think they should suspend him another week. I think they should fine him and let him play.
Uh-huh.
And as far as the other stuff, I don't love this. I hate this overemphasis of stuff, and then they stop. They don't do it by the middle of the season. Like, it starts heavy, and then it tapers off. Like, when old boy made that sack and he did the flex, Nolan Smith, I think, he made the sack and then he flexed, and they threw a 15-yard flag. It's like, no. No, I don't want that. I am about that life. I don't want to be about that.
Because they said he was standing over him, which I think is one of the emphases.
Football's an emotional game.
I agree.
Let's go. I don't want that. You want guys to have passion. Everybody's already saying, oh, guys are mercenaries, and they're doing this and blah, blah. I want emotion. I don't want disrespect. I don't want throat slashing. I don't want any of that stuff.
Okay.
But this, like flexing and not like being – so what now? If somebody is running into the – like, is there not going to be trash talk? Like, I don't know where this is going to end. Let's stop. Like, that flag was garbage. Garbage. And it's going to happen to a Packer this weekend, and we're going to freak out about it.
Yep.
And I don't like it. And I want guys playing to the edge. I don't want – like, I want – football's hard, man. Football is – football, you go up to the line, and an old boy spitting crossed it. Old boy flexing on old boy wasn't going over the line.
Old boys. All right, couple follow-ups because then I want to get to Packers-Lions because the natives are a little bit restless in the YouTube chats that we've been debating lightning for as long as we have. One, were you ever spit upon?
Yes.
By whom?
I don't remember the guy's name. I know he played for the Bears. It was early in my career, and I was wise enough at the point. I think, driven him. I probably pile-drive him into the ground like I always did. Just run, you know, just pound him.
Sure.
I think I either passed – I think I did something a little late where – because he chased the ball, and I clipped him or something, and he got mad. He started jawing at me, and he spit. And it actually hit my face mask. And the ref is right there. And I wanted to be a complete – but I saw the ref, and I'm like, I need 15 yards. Like, I need 15 yards.
Yeah.
And literally the spit is hanging off my thing, and the ref sees it, and he said, I didn't see it. I said, it's right here. What do you mean you didn't see it? It's literally right here. And it didn't get the yardage, and I think the rest of that game, every shot I could get at old boy's legs, I took. Like, it just, that's how this goes. I wasn't going to spit back. What are we doing? But I didn't want to, I think we had just gotten a first down. I'm not going to sit there. And at that point in my career, I never was an idiot about that stuff. I always was looking at how do I gain yardage? How do we do this? And for whatever reason, the ref didn't want to call that. And that's the first thing I thought of when I saw that last night.
All right, and then my second question is, so Max is playing football?
He is.
So as a parent and as someone who played the game the right way, and look, you would talk about, I love it when you tell how you didn't really trash talk, you instead complimented guys to death. Don't you think that the idea – in terms of the NFL wanting to pull back on the player's behavior that influences the other levels of from college to high school all the way on down, the idea is right. The enforcement felt like over the top. That was my view of it. Like, I do think that they have let it go a little bit too far, and I do think that some of that stuff, especially standing over your opponent and showing him up and jawing at him and demonstrating while standing over him, that is what leads to fights. So sure. I would argue that while they have the right idea, I thought their execution of it yesterday was terrible. And I understand they're overemphasizing it, but I do think, I mean, I went to a couple of high school games, as you know, on the opening week, and there is some of that that has trickled down.
Were you actually watching the game, though, or are you laying on a picnic table? I thought that was, that wasn't the picnic table.
I covered one, and then, no, there was no picnic table, and then I sat in the stands until the student section moved toward me, and then I moved to a different spot because I didn't want to embarrass my children. But the bottom line is, I do think you're seeing it in lower levels. I do think the NFL is right in its effort to curtail it to some degree, but they do this with everything, as you mentioned. Holding penalties, hand fighting between wide receivers and defensive backs. Like, when they decide to emphasize something, they go overboard early. And then we get to the midpoint of the season, and you're like, hey, what happened to that emphasis? They've stopped doing it. The emphasis at Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin is high quality and great deals.
And when a customer chooses Pella, one of the most important things to them is honoring that trust and commitment. And a lot of customers, they have apprehensions. You don't want to invite anybody into your home. And when you do, you want to make sure you see experience and professionalism. And that is what Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin provides. You can trust them with bringing your project to life. Their vision is to be the company that people want to do business with. Order by the end of the month. Get 0% interest for up to 5 years. Visit PellaWI.com today to learn more.
Micah Parsons continues to make a good impression on us and our conversations with him. Obviously, what matters most is how he will play, both on Sunday and moving forward. But I don't think he's a very good actor. I will explain why I feel that way next. It's Wilde and Tausch.
This is Wilde and Tausch, presented by Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin. Call Gina Della from Pella today, 855-PELLA-WI, and online at PellaWI.com/radio.
Green and gold game preview coming up, but first, Tausch, I understand, right? The first game of the season especially, there is a premium on not tipping your hand. Obviously, you never want to be telling your opponents what you've got up your sleeve. I get it. But we're trying real hard between this facet joint, epidural, anti-inflammatory injection, all this other stuff, to make it seem like there's a chance that Micah Parsons isn't going to play on Sunday. I'm sorry. When the last sentence he says to us is, I can't wait to see how they're going to unleash me. All that other stuff about, well, you know, it's up to the coaches and... No one in Detroit is buying this, correct?
No. No, everybody knows he's playing, and he's practiced. Again, the question I have is, it's not necessarily as much about the back as it's just he didn't practice.
Right.
He didn't do a lot. So how much are you willing to unleash him tonight or on Sunday? But the Detroit Lions are going to account for him. And have you heard Dan Campbell say have a plan for him? But I thought, Mike, I wasn't sure where you were going with that tease, so well done. I was wondering if you thought, what about the bravado? Because, that you know, hey, I don't like Detroit, you know, I think he realizes, and I don't know how he was viewed in Dallas as far as leadership goes.
Mm-hmm.
I know Dak was viewed as a big-time leader. I don't know their inner dynamics. it didn't feel and sense as if he was a big-time leader there. Now, he was a young player. Mm-hmm. He will need to lead here. I think him and Xavier McKinney will need to be the leaders of this group. And I think setting a tone and a mentality for how you want to approach things is a big part of leadership. And as I've said all week, Detroit has bully-balled us. They've bully-balled the G&G. And I think what old boy has said, what Micah is saying is, we ain't going to be about that life no more. And he's kind of setting the tone for that. So all of the other stuff, no, I don't think anybody in that room, I don't think anybody listening or anybody else is thinking Micah's not playing. The only way Mike ain't playing is if you hear the Packers put out that he's out today. And that ain't going to happen. Because even if he is out, they would put him as doubtful or something like that. So he's going to play. It's just a matter of how many snaps he's going to play.
That's exactly right. The two things that Tausch is referencing, he made it through about 13 and a half minutes of our conversation outside the Packers locker room until he said a couple things that were, bold, right?
Yeah.
One of them was he was asked about being – it was a pretty innocuous question – about, now you go from having the rivalries you had in the NFC East to the ones in the NFC North. How do you view that? And he said, honestly, bro, I felt like Dallas and Detroit already had a rivalry. I've already got that rivalry built up where I'm excited to play them. I never liked Detroit. I never liked them. Even when I was in Dallas, it's always a heavyweight fight every time they came in. I'm very excited, and it's going to go all 12 or 15 rounds. You know, when you say the phrase, I never liked Detroit, that gets the headline. But I didn't think it was overly bulletin boardy. The next one was when he was asked about trick plays. And he must be big on boxing. Like, you have your favorite analogies. He went boxing multiple times with his analogies.
Well, he's a sumo guy, too. I saw he was over in Japan sumo wrestling, too.
Trick plays are for people who can't beat you straight up. Like a guy running around the ring or trying to jab. Meet me in the middle. Let's line it up. That's what guys who try to do trick plays do. They can't beat you head up. They don't want to out-physical you. They don't want to be dominant. It's a scared tactic, I guess. But I could beat you every which way. So, again, I don't know how many trick plays the Lions are going to run without Ben Johnson, but I got news for you. They are not a team that is scared to out-physical you. They are not a team that relies on trick plays because they can't beat you head up. That is not what the Detroit Lions are with their kneecap-biting coach. So I did not find these. I know that they kind of got some people's attention. I did not find these nearly as interesting as some other people did.
The trick play stuff, that's an old – I mean, that is a Barry Alvarez book. Jesse, write that down because that's – he would always say that we weren't going to be about that because that's – I can't get into the trick 'em, blank 'em, that whole deal. I can't say that on air. It's – that means that you don't think you can stand up toe-to-toe. That's not how Detroit does it. I think Detroit did it to have fun.
Right,
like
exactly.
It was that they would run, and someone on First Take this morning said this, that's all great, but when Detroit came into Dallas last year, they pummeled the blank out of them and ran for like 190.
Yes.
And it wasn't trick plays or anything else. They were throwing laterals to the right tackle. Because it was fun, and they had the game in hand. Yeah. So I would not view, like what Kochak does with the Lobos up against Michigan. That was trick plays.
Because?
What Detroit did, and now they have a new coordinator. I just want guys to care and have the passion, and I want Micah Parsons to set the tone. I want him to be a tone setter for this defense.
Agreed.
And if he says he hates Detroit – it thinks that they can be that Green Bay, and he didn't say this, but read between the lines. He wants to go toe to toe because he wants to see where we're at physically.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You're right. Let me tell you something. So does Detroit. Detroit is going to come in, and I think they're really going to. I think they're going to say, "Hey, it's cute you got Mike out here, Y'all ran at Micah in the playoffs. We're going to probably do the same thing. We'll see how y'all hold up.
Yeah.
And Green Bay without Kenny Clark and without Slayton. I mean, I don't want to tease the keys to the game. That's going to be the key to the game.
Well, that'll be next. After you tell us about Tito's handmade vodka, which we, of course, always enjoy being crafted responsibly.
Oh, I love three things. I love a lot of things, but football, firing up the grill, and a solid cocktail in my hand. And when it's time to kick back, whether you're tailgating before the big game, Saturday, Sunday, Friday, whatever night, or you're just chilling from the couch, Tito's handmade vodka is my go-to. Distilled six times with a clean, smooth finish. Doesn't matter if it's a Bloody Mary, if it's a transfusion, if it's just a vodka cranberry, you know it's always going to be Tito's in my glass. And you know what? Besides having a great drink, Tito's gives back in a big way. Partnering with nonprofits and doing real good in the communities across the country, especially for our four-legged friends. So next time you're raising a glass, make sure it's Tito's handmade vodka in that glass, crafted to be savored responsibly.
The Green and Gold game preview is next. It's Wildy and Tausch.
Wildy and Tausch on 100.5 ESPN is brought to you by Everlight Solar. Save money, save the planet. Everlight Solar.
Forget to tune in to the ESPN Madison YouTube channel. Who we got tonight, Jesse?
Oregon Sun Prairie East, week three of the high school football season. Cardinals.
Who's on the call?
Tough loss for the freshman squad last night. Oregon got us. So, but that was on the road. That was on the road.
They went all the way to Eugene?
No, Oregon. Oregon.
Riley Auk on the call along with the Dean Dennis Semra tonight.
Oh, he's good. Oh, they're a good tandem.
Yeah, they
do a really nice job.
Riley brings a good energy. And by the way, I don't want to put anybody's business on the street, Jesse.
Yeah, you do.
But there was rumors that, and I listened to a lot of that Verona-Sun Prairie game.
Uh-oh.
There were rumors and rumblings from some folks, I'm not going to give any names, that you were a total Verona homer, is what I heard.
I would take offense to that, Jesse J. Nelson.
In fairness, I listened. I didn't hear that, but I'm guessing that you were very close to some Sun Prairie personnel in your booth, and anytime you brought up some positive things for Verona, it seemed like you were a little over. You were Joe Buckish, is what I was told.
Boy, welcome to the big leagues, Jesse. You're now being viewed like Joe Buck, that every fan base thinks you hate their fan base.
Do you think that's fair criticism? Because I did not. I told the guy, I don't think that's fair. I listened to the game and didn't feel that way.
I live in Sun Prairie. If I was going to be inclined toward either team, it would be Sun Prairie.
Now, you would be on the west side, though, and that is obviously a rivalry in its own.
Well,
so
it's budding.
Take that for what.
They're still all friends for now. A couple of years, it'll be a rivalry. Interesting.
That's definitely not true. It's a heated rivalry.
We've had the comparisons to Joe Buck and Al Michaels, and they just keep
nobody
on
said
coming.
Anything about Al Michaels. Just for the record, nobody said anything about
he
Al.
He doesn't
Michaels.
Eat vegetables like I do. We don't eat vegetables, me and
he
Al.
He also, as great as, and I know there's been some criticism of Al Michaels on this peer program from time to time from certain people on the panel.
Yeah, his enthusiasm levels dipped.
That's exactly.
Same with Bob Costas, if I'm being fair. Yeah, Bob Costas had the same criticisms.
Yes, it is.
Bob is Bob.
Both are true. I appreciate you saying that because that's exactly what I was going to say. And that's not, there's no one is questioning Jesse's enthusiasm. What I am questioning is his preparation for the Green and Gold game preview.
Let's take a closer look at this week's matchup. This is the Green and Gold Game Preview.
Oh, it's good to be back. Packers, Lions, 325. Sunday afternoon on CBS. No Buck, no Game Burkhart. Nance and Romo on the call on CBS this weekend. Lot to choose from on this one to lead us off in the green and gold game preview, Tausch. What's the big storyline heading into the season opener?
Well, the big storyline is, are we positioned to recapture the North? Because Detroit, to their credit, 6 out of the last 7, they've owned the division. And they've beaten up on the G&G, and I think it's a mentality that has really helped spur that on. So if the Packers want to accomplish everything that they are setting their goals to, this game is really important. Not going to say it's critical mass, but you want to set the tone that you're back and you're this division ain't yours. This isn't going to be some 14-3, 15-2. Sunday's the night to do it, the afternoon. And Green Bay has to set that tone. So that, to me, are you capable and ready to do some recapturing? Sunday's a recapture day, in my opinion.
It's very important, but it's not critical. That seems like a pretty...
No, it's not critical mass. No, it's not. I said not critical mass. It's very important. Because, Jason, if they lose the game, it's not all lost. You win this game, it sets the tone moving forward. You will now be viewed. I think you'll rocket ahead of the Lions. You'll have a tie. You'll have a head start. And it's a home game. Teams that are going to win championships don't lose home games to division teams. They just don't. Right.
That is true. That is definitely true. I would say, let's take the low-hanging fruit here. The storyline is, how much is Micah Parsons, or as the Joneses like to call him, Michael Parsons, how much is he going to play, and how much impact is he going to have? Yes, there are other storylines. Yes, there is, how is the offense going to be, and how is Jordan Love's thumb going to affect, and are they going to fumble a handoff, and how are their corners going to hold up, and is Javon Bullard going to be able to cover Amon-Ra St. Brown? All those are storylines. But to me, let's not ignore the low-hanging fruit, which is, does the guy you just paid a king's ransom, although not as big as we thought they might have to pay, to get plus $188 million, how much impact is he going to have in his debut? Again, in 2018, when the Bears traded for Khalil Mack, he came to Lambeau Field, and he had a sack, he had a fumble, he had a fumble recovery, he had an interception, he returned the interception 27 yards for a touchdown. Is Micah Parsons going to have that kind of impact in his first game? I don't know, Jeff Hafley seems downright giddy about having him. We'll hear from him a little bit later in the show, but that, to me, is the storyline. There are lots of other smaller stories that I know you've been following, but to me, that is the story, and we can't ignore it just because it's something that we've been on top of for a week now. Next!
Besides Jordan Love, which Packers player will have the biggest impact on the outcome of this week's game?
Good question. Zach Tom is my answer. We all discussed Detroit losing all their D linemen last year and how that... Yeah, obviously, I think helped derail their championship chase. I want to see how Aiden Hutchinson is health-wise, but everybody's saying he is, and I heard his presser this week, he's ready to roll. He's an impact guy. You don't let game breakers beat you, and Hutchinson is going to be the bullseye guy this week. Don't let him get you. You just paid Zach Tom a boatload of cash. How much help are you going to give him? But Zach Tom has done very well against the big boys when he's played them. T.J. Watt, et cetera, et cetera. Let's see this matchup. Zach Tom wins that matchup, and Hutchinson is a non-factor. Green Bay's winning this game. They need him to be a game wrecker like the Packers are looking for from Micah. That's the deal. And whoever's game wrecker makes game-wrecking plays usually wins the game. Zach Tom's going to be in charge of not allowing that to happen.
Great answer. I will have to go a different direction. At first, I wanted to say Josh Jacobs. I think this is also a very interesting game in terms of the running games and how much each team is going to run the football. And I'm very curious to see how this defense holds up. Tausch mentioned it earlier. Not only do they no longer have Kenny Clark, but they also didn't re-sign T.J. Slayton, who could certainly be a knucklehead, but stopped the run pretty well. So they've got a bunch of young guys. I guess Devontae Wyatt isn't as young as he used to be. He's in his fourth season now, but I am intrigued by that. But I'm going to say someone I just mentioned moments ago, Javon Bullard. Because if he is effective as the nickel in the slot against Amon-Ra St. Brown, who may be the best slot receiver in the league, then they're going to win the game too. But if he gets cooked on a regular basis, it's going to be a long day for them. Is it not?
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, he goes to St. Brown as his. Him and Laporta are their security guys.
Yeah.
I think Jameson Williams, you obviously have to be concerned about, too. The pass rush needs to show up. I think if you're banking on the corners to cover for an extended period of time, you're going to be barking up the wrong tree. That's not how this game is going to go if Green Bay is going to win.
Next.
Last up in our green and gold game preview, our tradition unlike any other, fill in the blank. The Packers get a week one win over the Detroit Lions if blank.
No turnovers.
That is a traditional answer. So if you'd like to say they don't turn the ball over or win the turnover battle.
No, that is not what I'm going to say. I know the rules. This game is going to come down to, can they slow down Detroit's run game? Jared Goff, I've given a lot of credit to. I still, as far as a quarterback, he's an accurate thrower. He is very Kirk Cousins-like. You let him stay in his spot and just deliver the football, he is dynamite. Really good. You can't let that happen. And how you don't let that happen? 3rd and 7+. Don't let Gibbs get going. Don't let that run game get going, because I assure you this. They're sitting up there saying, oh boy, they just picked up Micah Parsons. They got Rashawn Gary. They got Devontae Wyatt. They got Coop. We better be able to run the football at the pace we want to do it. And if they can, they'll win. And if they can't, they won't. So if you can figure out, and I love where our inside linebacker group is, the question mark is, everybody's excited about Micah. Mm-hmm. And I know there's stats out there about, oh, he stops the run and all this other stuff. Micah's a great player. But I assure you, Detroit is going to look at this and say, no Kenny Clark, no Slayton. Let's see how they hold up. Now, they don't have their center, so their group isn't as good yet. But if they stop the run and don't allow that run game to get going, Goff will not be as good. Goff will turn the football over. And you let these guys eat, Green Bay's going to win the game.
I think Jahmyr Gibbs is going to have a big year. I think he's really good. But I'm still not sold on how good their corner coverage play is going to be. I am a big Keyshawn Nixon proponent. He did essentially play as their number one corner last season. I am very curious to see if he can play like a CB1 from the jump, because this is the job he wanted. And now he's got it. How's it going to go? I'm super curious about that. Carrington Valentine has had some really great moments. And then I mentioned Javon Bullard being in the slot. They're also one injury away from being in some fairly dire straits if Nate Hobbs does not play. And Nate Hobbs did some individual work. I'm guessing we weren't in there. I'm guessing he didn't do 11-on-11 yesterday. I don't think he's going to be available. So I'm very curious to see how they hold up, because to Tausch's point, if they run the ball effectively, and they set up a bunch of second and third and manageables, that allows them to take some shots in their passing game. And if they do that, I'm very curious to see how the Packers' defense holds up. I love their safeties. I'm still not quite sure what I feel about their corner play. All right, that is the Green and Gold game preview. We need to play trivia next. Hey, Snarky McSnarkerson, we're only playing one round of trivia today, Jesse, so you don't have to condescend to me asking how we're going to do two double trivia. Which topic do you have for today, and which caller would you prefer, sir?
Great moments in Packers-Lions history is our trivia category today. Getting a set for Sunday's game. Caller, Lions won 15 games last year. Is that right?
Indeed, they did.
15, caller 15 for that.
All right. Caller 15, 844-770-3776, 844-770-3776. Wildy and Tausch Trivia presented by Cousin Subs is coming up after Tausch tells us about Hard Rock Casino Rockford, where his wager on the Packers over-under for wins is looking very sweet to him. I'm still not sold on the MVP bet, though.
Yeah, the show, Wildy and Tausch, we had some fun. Jesse has done well with the Brewers. We're feeling real good about our Packers stuff, and it's real good anytime you can get down to the new Hard Rock Casino Rockford. Features over 175,000 square feet of gaming entertainment space, 1,300 slots, 50 live table games, a sports book, and a rock shop. Great food. We saw that when we were down there. You got Council Oak steaks and seafood. You got the UU noodle bar that I've been wanting to try. They also have museum-worthy collection of more than 500 pieces of authentic music memorabilia from artists like Prince, Cheap Trick, Eddie Vedder, and Taylor Swift. Wow.
And hopefully Dolly Parton.
Wow. Yeah, hopefully DP as well. A premier entertainment destination just off of I-90, about an hour outside of Madison in Rockford, Illinois.
Trivia's next.
Let's go.
Wildy and Tausch.
This is Wildy and Tausch, brought to you by Grassland Butter. Grassland Dairy is Wisconsin. Learn more at grasslandbutter.com. But I won't.
For trivia. We will play in a moment. Then in the 11 o'clock, or the 10 o'clock hour, I should say, we will get into some of our other staples. For those of you that are new to the program, Fridays are jam-packed shows as we preview the Packers. I understand you, some of you found the discussion of Lightning and stadiums a little bit of a delay to your insights into the game.
I thought it was interesting. I didn't know.
I thought it was as well.
I didn't know.
I agree. Time now for some trivia.
Wildy and Tausch Trivia is presented by Cousin Subs. Crispy chicken tenders are now available at Cousin Subs. Order today in-store at CousinSubs.com or with the Cousins app. Cousin Subs, we believe in better.
Let them tell you about the crispy chicken tenders, old T. Those are good chicken
tenders.
Well,
I didn't realize. I forgot that we have our great partner, Cousin Subs, providing trivia. That's on me. Hey, boys, I'm not going to Wildy and Jesse this.
Troom it up.
That's on me.
Troom it up. With
totally screwed that up.
Cheeky tendies.
I was just going to say, I didn't want to get into the fact that our Keurig broke, and I wanted to know how long a good Keurig lasts for. Oh, but I'm not going to get into
long
that
enough.
Because I know people are restless.
Not long enough. I love the fact that even while you Troom it up, you still take a shot at us. In the
process. You guys don't Troom it up.
I think I Troom it up
and
plenty.
And it's all right.
Here's a guy who always Troomans up.
Sparky
in Sussex. Sparky, good morning. How are you, buddy?
Well, I'll be honest, guys. I'm not doing very well today.
Uh-oh.
Okay.
What's the matter?
Well, apparently Mrs. Sparky was listening last week.
Oh,
when
no.
You guys compared me to Clark. And I've now been informed that I'm on the trading block. She seeks a deal for her own version of Micah Parsons.
Well played, and good luck. Good luck. And good luck with trivia as well. Question number one, Sparky, is this.
I forget people listen to us sometimes.
That does happen.
That's a funny thing.
All right, question one. In the wild card round of the 1994 playoffs, which legendary running back did the Packers defense hold to negative one rushing yards en route to a 16-12 victory at Lambeau Field? Was it Barry Sanders, Emmett Smith, or Scoot Mitchell?
That was Barry Sanders.
Scoot Mitchell.
Mitchell was a...
I know what you were going back.
Yeah. It wasn't good. It wasn't your best.
Wasn't that the game that was about 0 degrees off?
It was bitter cold, yes, and he had the same number of yards as the temperature was.
Wanted him to put a roof on so that there wouldn't be any delays.
I would have gone Eric Hipple because Eric Hipple's name is fun to say. Question two,
Hipple,
Sparky.
Hipple is fun to say. It is fun.
Eric Hipple. That was their quarterback when I was growing up. Question two, Sparky.
Was there a Mark Whipple, too, or am I just making
something? I feel like he was a baseball pitcher, but I'm going to have to fact check that.
Okay.
Question two, Sparky. On which holiday in 2011 did the Detroit Lions defensive lineman Ndamukong Suh infamously stomp on Packers offensive lineman Evan Dietrich Smith, warranting an ejection from the game? Was that on Thanksgiving Day, Christmas Day, or New Year's Day?
I believe that was Thanksgiving, wasn't it?
Indeed it was. Who's the Whipple I'm looking up? Mark Whipple.
Yeah.
Hey, Sparky, did Mrs. Sparky kind of put, like, you better get all three and win this week as kind of the motivation after that whole debacle from last week? Or did she not put any parameters on you?
Well, the only limitation, I think, was that I passed the physical.
Whoa, Nelly!
Mark Whipple.
You can still light that Yule log, huh?
Whoa, Nelly!
This is how we got in trouble last time. Multiple times, Mark Whipple was the head coach at UMass. He coached with the Cleveland Browns. He most recently was the offensive coordinator for the Nebraska Cornhuskers in 2022. Question three, Spark Dog, is this. The Packers handed the 2008 Lions their final loss of the year. Aaron Rodgers used to talk about how much he appreciated the ovation he got coming off the field after beating an 0-16 team, cementing their legacy as the first team in NFL history to finish the regular season 0-16. Who was the head coach of that 0-16 Detroit Lions team? Was it Marty Morningweg, Jim Caldwell, or Rod Marinelli?
Whoa. It's a tough question.
Mm. I think he came over there. I'm going to say Caldwell.
I think
it's Marinelli. I'm going to go Marinelli. I think it's Marinelli.
The father-in-law of everyone's favorite Packers defensive coordinator, Joe Barry. The correct answer is indeed Rod Marinelli.
Ooh.
So Tausch gets a sub sandwich.
Very tough question.
It was tough. I will give you that. I knew it, but... it is a tough question, no doubt about
That's
it.
That's because you're really smart and you've been detailed.
No, because I covered the game. I was there.
Yeah, Jason, I'm complimenting you. Don't be so sensitive.
No, I don't think that was a compliment. I will compliment Sparky. He is one of our all-time most devoted listeners, but he does not have four entries into our drawing. He's only got three because he got that last one wrong. Sparky, if we caused any marital instability. Good.
Just take her to Cousin
Subs.
Glad
we can keep it interesting for you.
Hey, Jason, can I have one more thing?
Nope. Sorry, we're out of time. No, of course you can.
Has anybody talked about a nickname for Micah Parsons?
Oh, no.
I'm just curious. I had one. I don't know how good it is. I thought
We'll be the judge of that.
What is it?
I thought sack time was perfect.
Sack time?
Sack time. Either putting somebody to sleep or it's time for a sack.
Yeah, I think you and Mrs. Sparky should workshop that further.
Well, now who's throwing daggers?
Jerkweed.
Yeah, he's a judgy. He's a judgy McJudgerson. Oh, you know that, Sparky.
Like the other people on the panel didn't judge that. Everyone was just silent. Sparky, you got three entries. Good luck in the drawing for the Cousin Subs prize. We appreciate you, buddy.
Thanks, guys. Looking forward to a good game Sunday. So it's going to be a beautiful day up there.
All right. We look forward to that as well. We also look forward to the 10 o'clock hour, which we will start in exactly 2 minutes. So stick around. It's Wilde and Tausch.
Don't go anywhere. Another hour of Wilde and Tausch, presented by Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin, is coming up next on ESPN Wisconsin and the ESPN Wisconsin app.